Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Glory to God, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I welcome you wherever you are joining us from, around this country and around the world, and on whatever platform. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of our Bible study tonight. God is so good. Our Father is amazing. He's so faithful. He's so awesome. We're so thankful to Him for the love that He has for us. The incredible, extravagant love that our Father has for us. And we're really thankful for His demonstration of that love every day through the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer as we get into our Bible study tonight. Father, we are so thankful to you. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you, God, for this wonderful season, this time, this season of the year when we get to celebrate. Yes, we do celebrate our Savior right through every day, every week, every month, every year. But I know that there are certain times in the year when we put a little bit more emphasis on our gratitude for what He has done for us. And this is one of those times, this is one of those seasons as we celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that He has done for us. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands tonight. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is under the sound of my voice, everyone that is joining us tonight for this Bible study. I pray, God, that you bless them and their loved ones. Lord, grant us grace tonight. Precious Holy Spirit, give us illumination, fresh insight, fresh oil in the Word of God. We thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Hallelujah. We want to continue on in this amazing series of studies on the love of God. We're discussing the love revolution. And glory to God. There is nothing on this earth that will ever overcome the power of the love of God. The love of God is the greatest security that there is on earth. That's why you and I are safe in His arms. That's why you and I are kept by His power. Oh, I love the every time we have an opportunity, like we did in one of our recent services, ALO services, to talk about, just put the light on our God, our eternal refuge. Glory to God. Like it says in our confession, which is this particular part of it is actually is taken from Deuteronomy and chapter 33. Glory to God. And I think that's verse 31. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and He will say, destroy them. Hallelujah. And then it says in verse 29, happy are thou, you, happy are you, blessed are you, O Israel, who is like unto you, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, and who is the seed, who is the sword of your excellency, and your enemies shall be found liars unto you, and you will be tried, and you will tread upon their high places. Glory to God, our God. Every opportunity we have to put the light and focus on our God, our eternal refuge, our Savior, and what his love, his everlasting arms and his everlasting love has done for us. Glory to God. You know, in Jeremiah 31, he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Glory to God. I have loved you with an everlasting. So underneath us are his everlasting arms, and he has loved us with an everlasting love. So that means his love for us will never fail. His love for us will never end, like we read last week in Romans chapter 8. In one of those verses that we saw in the Passion Translation, I'm going to go back and start from there tonight. His love is endless. His love for us is endless. It will never come to an end. The love of our Father for us, the love of our God for us, is perpetual. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. The love of our Father for us is perpetual. He said in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you'll be built. O Virgin of Israel, you shall again be adorned with your tabrets, and you'll go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's loved us with an everlasting love. So when we put the light on our Father, we put the light on how merciful and how gracious he is to us, how kind, how faithful, that's just one of the most powerful things we can do. And then take that light, that same light, and put it on his love for us as his children. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 in the Amplified, says, what an incredible quality of love our Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. This is really the essence of all of these studies that we have been in, to recognize how much our Father loves us, to recognize what he has done, the extent to which he has gone to call us his own, to redeem us, hallelujah, and to keep us on the path of eternal life. What a glorious blessing. What a majestic blessing. And the more you and I come into the clear realization, a deeper revelation of the love of God, the more we receive that love in our hearts, the more we increase in that love, like Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:4 for the believers there, the more we know, we have a revelation knowledge and understanding of the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God, the more abounding the power of God becomes in our lives. Glory to God. As that's those powerful verses of scripture in Romans chapter 8 that started from all things work together, verse 28, all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. Those amazing verses of scripture talking about who will separate us from the love of God, talking about it, who can condemn us? It is Christ who died for us, who justified us. It is he was the one who paid the price. And who can be against us if God is for us? And on like that. Those are amazing, amazing promises out of the word of God to assure our hearts, to let us know, to remind us again and again and again and again that we're in the cradle of his arms, and that his love for us is not only perpetual, but it is the greatest eternal security that any human could ever have. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your love. Oh, thank you for your love for us. Let's go there to Romans chapter 8 and read from, let's start out just go over, because we read this last week, so we did spend some quality time, but I really loved this particular rendition of that scripture, Romans chapter 8 from verse 34. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? Jesus is continually praying for us. He's constantly praying for us. We saw that last week as well. He's constantly praying for us. He has a perpetual ministry of intercession. We'll talk about that in just 1 minute here. Glory to God. He's our high priest. Several weeks ago, earlier on in our series of studies, we're talking about the spirit of sacrifice, and we're talking about what a sacrifice is, and we're talking about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we define the sacrifice as a victim. A sacrifice is a victim. A sacrifice is someone who allows themselves to be placed on an altar and they voluntarily give up what they have for the benefit of themselves or for the benefit of other people, primarily for the benefit of other people. And we describe the Lord Jesus Christ as both the victim, and usually these lambs or these goats, these animals that have no blemish, they are usually sacrificed. These victims, quote unquote, are usually sacrificed by the high priest. But Jesus is both the victim who was sacrificed as well as our high priest who made the sacrifice. Hallelujah. He's our eternal high priest. And the Bible says, He's well adapted to our need. No wonder he knows how to pray for us. No wonder he always speaks to the Father exactly what the Father needs to hear about us. We're so secure in his arms. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. Look at this let's go over to verse 35 here, Romans chapter 8. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? His love is endless. Everlasting. Absolutely no one, for nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? Lack, insufficiency, needs. None of those things, sicknesses, diseases, No, nothing on this earth. He says, no, they are all impotent to hinder the power of God's omnipotent love. His love is omnipotent. It's all powerful. Glory to God. Then he says in verse 36, even though it is written all day long, we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to become more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And let me say it a slightly different way. We are more than conquerors because of his love for us. Nothing can ever separate us from his love. We are more than conquerors because of his love for us. Hallelujah. We conquer everything. Amen. There's no situation we deal with in our lives that will overcome us. No, we conquer. We are more than conquerors because of his love for us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Glory to God. I hope this is making your heart sing. I hope this is helping. This is making you dance. Glory to God. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. No. We can sleep on stuff like this. No. We are more than conquerors because of his love for us. His love is everything. His love is everything. Glory to God. He says, God has made us more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now, I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. There's nothing in the universe. Nothing. There is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm convinced that his love would triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, all dark rulers in the universe, in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. We talked about some of those fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. The Bible talks about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Amen. Wicked spirits in the heavenlies. None of them can pluck us out of his hands. None of those evil tools in the hands of the adversary, in the hands of Satan, can stop the power of the love of God that has been made manifest in our lives. We're just so secure. We're just so blessed. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 39, there is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. His love is lavished upon us. His love is lavished, is poured out. Earlier on in our studies too, we saw that scripture, and we'll go there as we continue on in our studies tonight. That scripture in Romans chapter 5. Just we'll back up a couple of chapters from Romans chapter 8, where the Bible tells us God commended his love towards us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And God commended, or he poured out, or he lavished. So he didn't just measure it out in a little cup. He didn't just measure his love out in a little cup. No, he lavished it. The love of God is boundless, is limitless. Glory to God. He says his love is lavished upon us. There's another scripture in the New Testament where the Bible says the love of Christ was extravagant. The love of Christ was extravagant. I think I'll get to that as well tonight. Amen. His love for us was extravagant. Let me see if I can find that. His love towards us. Extravagant. I think it's Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to come back to it at some point later on tonight. And that might be in the message. Let's see if I can find that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Glory to God. That's it. Yep, that's it. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. That's in the message translation. It says, mostly what God does is love you. I love that. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but it was extravagant. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Oh, glory to God. And we're not there yet where we're talking about God's mandate for us to carry on his love in the same way that he loved us, that we become channels of that love to humanity. But you know, eventually we're going to go there, right? We're headed there at some point. But that's not where we are right now. Right now, We're just basking in the glow. We're just immersing ourselves in the in the river, hallelujah, in the river, in the ocean of God's boundless love. He says his love was lavished upon us. Here he says his love was not cautious. His love was extravagant, extravagant. His love was an overflow, like we use that word, yafun yafun. His word was abundant, it's abounding towards us. See, yafun yafun kind of love. And that yafun yafun kind of love, you just can't stop it. No one can stop it. No one can limit it. The Bible says there's a songwriter wrote, and talking about the love of God is so wide you can never get around it. It's so high you can never get over it. It's so low you can never get under it. It's so deep you can never get under it. The love of God is so bountiful. It's boundless. Glory to God. His extravagant love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your extravagant love. Father, we thank you for your extravagant love. We thank you for extravagant love. Hallelujah. I want us to go right back there to Romans 8:34. I want to reemphasize as we approach this, I know throughout the season of celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, one of the things we really ought to focus on a lot, and we'll do that in our next Bible studies together, next session together, we need to focus a lot on the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made. The basis of every sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us was his love. The basis of his sacrifice was his love. The basis of everything he did. Now, last week, we identified in out of Romans chapter 8, verse 34, and we were reading that, I think, maybe from the Amplified. We read it from King James Amplified and the Passion as well. But in the King James, it says, Romans 8, 34, it is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We saw the four redemptive acts of the Lord Jesus Christ out of this particular scripture last week. Amen. This is what we celebrate in this season. When we talk a lot about his resurrection, his death, is all of that. But really, these four major things that we celebrate, unfortunately, there's one of those four major acts, redemptive acts, that is hardly ever talked about. So last week, I know in our studies, I believe that the Lord wanted us to pause and to really just take that in and to lay hold on that revelation, right? Because these four redemptive acts of Christ, glory to God, as we celebrate them all in this season, they're powerful. They're glorious. They're amazing. That's the bedrock of our faith. But notice that three of those things have already happened. And they laid the foundation for everything that we have in our lives today. But there's one of those things that is ongoing even as you and I are in this Bible study tonight. So look at it. It is Christ that died. That's his death. That's number one. Yea, rather, that is risen again. That is his resurrection. Who is even at the right hand of God? That is his ascension to the right hand of the Father. Who also makes intercession for us? That is his ministry of intercession for you and for me today. Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is praying for you. You will never be without. If you abide in the love of God, you will never, ever be without a prayer covering. Ever. If you abide in the love of God. See, the key is to abide in his love. What does the word abide mean? It means to dwell in his love. to dwell in his love. If you abide in the love of God, you will never, ever lack for any good thing in your life. Why? Because Jesus loves you and Jesus is praying for you. Whatever you go through, whatever you deal with, and then there's glory to God, there's an Old Testament, I like to see it as the Old Testament equivalent of Romans 8, that highlights the power of the love of God for the saints, for his people. And we're gonna read that in just a minute. But I want us again tonight to focus very strongly. If we abide in the love of God, in the love of Christ, we will never, ever again, ever, ever lack for any good thing. We will never lack for a prayer covering. We will never lack for any blessing of God in our lives. It's in John 15, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples, talking about the sacrifice that he made and talking about the need for us as his people to abide in his love. I'm going to read a few verses here from John chapter 15 and verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Hallelujah. Continue you in my love. You can read that as you now continue in that love that I've given to you. See, he said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Glory to God. So the same love that the Father has for the Lord Jesus Christ is the same love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. But what do we need to do now? We need to abide in that love. We need to receive it. We need to embrace it. We need to walk in it. We need to walk in the confidence of it. Hallelujah. You continue in my love, he says. Then in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. See, the key here is abiding in his love. If you obey me, the Amplified says, if you obey me, continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. To abide in his love. If you abide in his love, you will never, ever be without a prayer covering. You will never, ever be outside of the covering of the ministry of intercession that the Lord Jesus Christ provides for you and for me every day, every single day of our lives. It says these things, verse 11, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Again, like I said, ultimately, we're going to go there. We're going to go there. But in this part of our series of studies, we're not talking yet about giving that love away. We're talking about receiving it first. We're talking about being grounded in it. Like Paul said, being grounded, being rooted in it. Like he prayed for the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 3. We're talking about being grounded in it. We're talking about being rooted in it. Because when you are grounded and when you are rooted in that love, oh, glory to God, the power of God becomes boundless in your life. Remember that scripture in Ephesians 3? I've been ready for a couple of weeks because we read it consistently for about the very first few weeks of our studies together. But you remember that's where he was praying for them. He said, I pray for you that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in his love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of his love that works within us. Glory to God. So we're not talking yet about giving it away, although we give it away every day, we are supposed to. Glory to God. But we're going to come to a place where we actually also study that some more, right? And we're going to get there eventually. The Lord will help us. But right now, we're focusing on receiving that love, embracing that love, walking in the fullness of it. Glory to God. Amen. Then he says here in verse 13, greater love, this is John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he did for us. The greatest love in the universe, the greatest power, the greatest security in the universe is the love of God. There's nothing greater. That's what Jesus gave to us. Glory to God. So we see there in these four redemptive acts of Christ that we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, he died. That was his death. He rose. That was his resurrection. He ascended. That's his ascension. And he intercedes for us. He prays for us every day. And it's so powerful. Those first three have already happened. They're in the past tense and they're the root of all the benefits that believers enjoy in their lives today. But those benefits are upheld and guaranteed today, tomorrow and forever in our lives because of the intercessory ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is still praying and he's still interceding for you today because of his love. Because of his love. Hallelujah. Of course, we saw that too in Hebrews chapter 7 last week. Let's read that real quick. Hebrews chapter 7 and it's actually verse 25, but let's read verse 24 first. Hebrews chapter 7 is a high priest. He's a high priest that will abide forever. Hebrews 7, 24. He's not like the human priest or the high priest that came before him that had seasons. And every year to repeat the same sacrifice. We've talked a lot about this as well. We might talk about it again next week. But look at that scripture right there, Hebrews 7, 24. But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable and an unchanging priesthood. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchanging and an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25, therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save forever, permanently. Why? Because he ever lives to make intercession. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for me every day. Every day. We have his prayer covering. Praise God, we pray for one another. Praise God, people pray for us. Our brethren, our brothers, our sisters pray for us. Glory to God. But there's no prayer. There's no prayer as great, as rooted in the love of God, as the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for every believer, every single believer, every day. Before you step out, I want you to have that realization. I want you to walk with that realization every single day. When you get out of home, you get out in your car or however you're going out to walk, I want you to remember, Jesus is praying for me today. Hallelujah. I'm secure in his love today. I'm secure in his hands today. Jesus is lifting me up before the Father today. All is well with me today because of the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it. It says in verse 26, for such a high priest, it says in the King James, became us who is holy. Now, if you look at that in the Amplified, he says, here is the high priest that is perfectly adapted to our needs as was fitting. I love it. Here is the high priest perfectly adapted to our needs as was fitting. He is the perfect high priest for every believer because he is fitting for our needs. What does that mean? He is able to deliver everything that we need every single moment of our lives. He's able to understand. He's able to relate with us. He's able to walk with us. He's able to be there for us. He's our high priest. I love it. He's the high priest that is fitted for our need. Of course, if you go to Hebrews chapter 3, we'll just back up from Hebrews chapter 7 a little bit and go to Hebrews and go back there to Hebrews chapter 2. There in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 17, it says, therefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, I like the way this reads in the Amplified. This is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, for because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry of, to assist, to relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. He is the high priest that is fitting for our need. He's adapted for our everything because he has experienced everything we will ever experience. And he never failed. You go on from Hebrews chapter 2. These are all powerful scriptures talking about the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've forever loved the book of Hebrews. And every time I've tried to do a study, do a teaching on the book of Hebrews, have all my notes and, you know, I get to a point and it's just a little bit of, it's usually a little bit of a climb. Like there's so much depth in that book that sometimes it feels really difficult to just go all the way. So many times all we do, we just scratch the surface a little bit and we move on to something else. We scratch the surface a little bit, we move on to something else. Look at the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He's always available for us. He's always praying for us. He's adapted to our every need. He runs to our cry to assist us, to relieve us. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, that popular scripture, he says there in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession of faith. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. A high priest. He's always praying for us. He's always available to us. He's well fitted to our every need. And he's always lavishing the grace, the mercy, and the love of God upon our lives. I love the way the Amplified Version puts that, that last verse, verse 16. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time. For every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. We are helped. I love that line in our confession. I'm helped. I'm blessed. I'm favored. Why are we helped? Why are we helped? Because of a high priest. Right? We're helped because of our high priest. Why are we favored? Because of our high priest. Why are we blessed? Because of our high priest. Glory to God. I love it. It says there, it's, I'm helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and in my coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor. And I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. Why is all that? because of the ministry of our high priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he loved us and he loves us. He intercedes for us every day. He prays for us every day. Glory to God. He prays for us every day. I love these, this Old Testament equivalent. I was saying earlier, the Old Testament foreshadowing of the power of the love of God is in Isaiah chapter 43, right? Most of us have heard this scripture before, but I want to read that again tonight, right? You go from Romans chapter 8, talking about who can separate us from the love of God. The Old Testament foreshadowing of that scripture is in Isaiah chapter 43. It's because of the ministry of our high priest, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the bridge that connects all of the promises of the Old Testament with all of the promises of the New Testament and makes them current. Every hour, current in every season. Oh, I love that. If you don't mind, I'm going to type that in my note. Jesus is the bridge. He's the bridge that connects all the promises of the Old Testament and connects all the promises of the Old Testament to all the promises of the New Testament and makes them, he makes them current in the moment every day in the life of the believer. Glory to God. I love that. That's so powerful. Forgive me for typing while I'm teaching. It's just when those revelations come, I want to have them. I want to have them documented. Jesus is the bridge that connects all the promises. He connects all the promises of the Old Testament to all the promises of the New Testament, and he makes them current in the moment every day of the life of the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's so powerful and that's so prophetic. And right here, we're going to read in Isaiah 43, and we're approaching the 43 minute mark. So I need to wrap this up. But listen to this in Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, put my name there, Kyode, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. God is telling you tonight, you are mine. You are his. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Ethiopia and Seba I gave for you. Since you were precious in my sight, glory to God, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. I've loved you. All this is because of my love for you. And Jesus, our high priest, makes this current. He makes these promises. He makes this reality a current, everyday reality in the life of the New Testament saint. I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you, and I will give people for your life. Fear not. Fear not. Love demolishes all fear. Glory to God. The love of God demolishes all fear. So fear not. Don't be afraid of anything. Fear not. Don't be afraid of anything. The love of God demolishes all fear. I will say to the north, give up. Oh, no, no. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created them for my glory. I have formed them, yea, I have made them. You can add to it, I have loved them. Love them with an everlasting love. I've loved them. Glory to God. I've loved them with an everlasting love. The basis, let's wrap this up tonight. The basis of Jesus' sacrifice for us was his love. The basis of every sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made for us was his love. Let's go and read in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 from verse 4. As we wrap this up tonight, Romans chapter 5, thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you. Thank you for being the high priest that is well adapted to our every need. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Romans chapter 5, from verse 4. Well, let's read it from verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, hallelujah. The word means to pour out, to lavish, to be extravagant. He said, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God commended. While we were yet sinners, God commended. He poured out, he lavished his love upon us. Glory to God. The spirit of sacrifice is the spirit of love. I love this. The spirit of sacrifice is the spirit of love. You don't love until you sacrifice, and you don't sacrifice until you love. The spirit of sacrifice is the spirit of love. You don't love until you sacrifice, and you don't sacrifice until you love. Do you know that? Saint, the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of love is the spirit of sacrifice. The spirit of sacrifice is the spirit of love. You don't love until you make a sacrifice. And you don't sacrifice. Your sacrifice is not acceptable until it is based on love. Hallelujah. The spirit of sacrifice is the spirit of love. It is impossible to say you love someone or you love people and you are not willing to make a sacrifice for them. No, that's impossible, because the spirit of sacrifice is the spirit of love. You can't talk about you've made sacrifice. Oh, people, you've made sacrifice, unless that sacrifice is rooted in love, real agape love. When people make sacrifices that are not rooted in love, those sacrifices are corrupt and they're never acceptable to the Lord. The reason the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was acceptable to the Father, it was everything about it was rooted in love. And because it was rooted in love, the Bible actually talks about this fragrance, this sweet fragrance that the Father smells. Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a thing. Remember when Noah, hopefully we can come back to this next week. You remember Noah, when Noah made his sacrifice, there's this aroma that rose up to heaven. When Jesus made his sacrifice, there was an aroma that rose up to heaven. And Paul talked in the book of Philippians, in his letter to the Philippians, when he was talking about the gifts they sent to him, he talked about it being a heavenly gift that sent up an aroma. It created an aroma, a loving fragrance that's acceptable to God. Oh, sacrifice is so powerful. Oh, love is so powerful. The sacrifice of love is so powerful because it always stirs up a fragrance. There's a line in our confession that says there's a heavenly fragrance. Let me read that tonight as I get ready to close this. I think I've got to close in just a couple of minutes here. I love it. He was talking about the spirit of sacrifice. But then he says, look at this. It says, the spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken. And my bloodline is redeemed forever. That's what happens when love takes its place. When the spirit of sacrifice merges, comes together with the spirit of love. That's what happens. There's a sweet fragrance of heaven that is released. And yokes and curses are permanently destroyed. Bloodlines are purified. Glory to God. Remember, it was the sacrifice of Noah, and God smelled that aroma. He said, I will never again curse man. I will never again bring a destruction upon man. That bloodline, that yoke, that curse was broken forever. And that bloodline was redeemed. When Jesus made his sacrifice, and the Bible tells us, let's read this and close out tonight. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, I think I should read verse 2 actually, I should say. Read that in the Amplified Message and Living Translation, the Living Bible Translation. Let's close out there. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. I already read that in the Message, by the way, earlier on in this service tonight. Listen. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. All right, that's awesome. But I want to read that. Let's read that first in the King James. In the King James, it says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God. For a sweet smelling savor. Christ gave himself up an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, it reads thus in the, that's the King James. In the Amplified, this is the way it reads. Glory to God. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering. And a sacrifice to God for you, so that that sacrifice became a sweet fragrance. A sweet fragrance. Glory to God. What a mighty blessing. Let's read this in the Living Bible. Be full of love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was like sweet perfume to him. Christ's love for you, his sacrifice for you, was like sweet perfumes, a heavenly fragrance. I love it. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken. And my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the sweet fragrance that is flowing out of the sacrifice of love that our Lord Jesus Christ made for us. Thank you. You are so pleased by this sweet fragrance that you are pouring out more and more and more of your love over our lives. We give you praise for redeeming our bloodline. We thank you for the purification of every corruption within our destinies. We give you honor tonight. I bless all of my brothers and sisters. Lord, as we go, as we close out tonight, we're not leaving from your presence. I thank you, God, because this sweet fragrance will continue to flow and to ooze and to permeate their lives, their environments, their homes, their families. The blessings will continue to flow over all of our lives. I give you thanks, Father. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. It's a glorious time. That's a glorious time in the presence of God. Hallelujah. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. Hallelujah. As we celebrate, continue to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive work and all that he has done for us. And this sacrifice, this sweet fragrance of the love of Jesus. God bless you. Good night.